I was told at the last Mass that my homily was too short, so I'm going to try and pad it for you. That'll get you all praying. Just kidding. I'll leave the long homilies to Deacon Gonzo when he returns, okay? Jesus descends into the water. I'm recalling something that I've read that I've kept for years. It goes something like this. I have a mission in life, a purpose. God created me for some purpose. I may not know in this life what exactly I was here to do, but I will certainly discover it in the next. My life has value and meaning because Christ has saved me and created me. I was made in his image and likeness. I have a purpose to my life. God has created me for this purpose and mission. And the readings today at this beginning of the new year all point to our own baptism and Christ descending into the water and taking on himself. He didn't need a baptism. What's he doing in there? He's coming to sanctify the water that he himself created, the Creator entering fully into humanity, his own creation, to become one with it, and to sanctify the water by his presence and to take on, not symbolically, but in reality, the sins of humanity for all who will accept him from then on. So we have this beautiful image of our own baptism then, being baptized and being united with this moment with Jesus Christ. But it's interesting because John does not know him. But we know that John is related to him. In fact, as John says, that he was created after John in time, but existed before him in eternity. That's the mystery. He and his cousin, they're cousins, and they met at the visitation, didn't they? Elizabeth's with child, and she's too old for childbearing, whatever that was, and Mary, who was young, and the two of them, cousins separated by much distance later in life and by age, they come together, both with child, and the children who are not yet born are already reacting to each other. This is in the scriptures, in their mother's womb. And this is what the first reading is hinting at here in Isaiah, that the prophet Isaiah is writing at Isaiah 49. He's writing to people that have been in exile for many years. They need encouragement. They're about to be sent back to their homes that were destroyed a generation earlier, and they're looking for encouragement. And the Lord says to me, "You're my servant, Israel, through my show my glory. The Lord has spoken, who formed me as a servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him." So it goes from a general people to a specific individual, this individual formed in the womb, known by God before they were born. That certainly applies to both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, who are already reacting, though they're not in our world yet. They're still in the world of the unborn, you know. And so there's a lot of encouragement here, is that in many places in Scripture, we see that God knew us before we were born. And plus, you know, God gives a mission not just to John the Baptist, not just to Jesus, but to all of us. If you were not here, there are things that will not be done. And we don't know exactly what we're here for. We always think of the big things, but it's those small connections that we will be so encouraged by in the world to come. And occasionally God will reveal to us something of why we were here. And we have to be open to the Holy Spirit because he wants to guide us. He wants to guide us in, and he'll guide us more and more the more open we are to what God really wants us to do in the world. And it usually involves other people. If we are open to what God wishes us to be, other Christs, like the priest is an altar Christus when he wears this chasuble, we're all called to be another Christ by virtue of our baptism, to be his representatives in a world that doesn't know him. It's very interesting. After the Saturday night Mass, I believe, yeah, it was Saturday night, somebody is new in the parish, and they were telling me, we were talking about that person as a nurse or a nurse practitioner, and I was saying that they knew this individual who changed my life. I've talked to this before. I had 25 or 30 years of constant sinus infections, and they were very bad. Many years I was on several courses of antibiotics each year to get rid of this thing. It kept coming back. I could never get rid of it, and it was awful. And it hit me at Christmas about 8-9 years ago. I was out for 2 months here, and I decided I'm going to become a monk, and I was young enough to do it. and at that point, I ran into two people that solved everything. It's been like 10 years since I've had those infections now. The individual was a chance encounter with this nurse practitioner that kicked me in the right direction of avoiding certain foods that I don't react to on a scratch test type thing. So it's just an interesting little thing that this individual went on their merry way, not knowing that I'm standing here today because of that person. And perhaps part of their mission in life was simply to point me in the right direction and then move on without having the slightest idea that how much I'm here today speaking because that person helped me get over that problem of many years. What is your mission? You've had similar things happen to you. That is the Holy Spirit in action, who reminded me of that after my homily on Saturday night. And I said, thank God for this individual whom I've forgotten about, but whom God will point out to me and said, I sent this person to you. I'm the one that did this. And now you have to be that person in the world. And you may not even know what it is, but we have value in God's eyes. We're here for a purpose. And it's not just to accumulate stuff and have a good time. We're here for other people. And we have a mission, a baptized mission. A year ago, we were fortunate to read this gospel on every Sunday, on the first Sunday of Ordinary Time. I almost said Advent. And I had a sick call last year. I went out and I had this PIX. The PIX is one of these. We have two of these on the altar for those who are gluten sensitive, as I am, actually. And so I had a PIX like this in my hand. And it was one that a friend of mine in California gave me for my ordination 20 years ago. I never really looked at it. But after reading this gospel, I'm visiting a dying individual. And on the PIX, not this one, but mine, which is larger, and it's got a picture of a dove descending on Jesus in the waters. And I thought, how perfect for this day that this was the reading, and here I am. And as I gave this to this dying individual, and, you know, of course, communion, the last communion that you have is viaticum. That's the last sacrament. Some of you Eucharistic ministers have had the privilege of giving the last sacrament to somebody. It's not the anointing of the sick. It is your last communion. That is your last sacrament. So I gave this last sacrament to this individual, and I felt as if God were saying to me at that moment, behold the Lamb of God. In other words, this is my beloved son, or this is my beloved daughter, whom I'm well pleased with. I think the Lord wants to say that to all of us. Now, all of us have issues, and, you know, we all are fallen, but Christ wants to forgive us, and he calls us his sons and daughters. Sometimes we have to go to confession to be cleansed again of something major, but we all have a mission in life. We all have a purpose. I have been created for some purpose. I am valuable in the sight of God, no matter what happens. I may not know that purpose in this life, but I shall surely know it in the next. We keep that in mind, that we're children of God. This is just the beginning of an eternity in which we will rejoice forever for the ways in which God used us in little ways that we can only imagine. If we only knew, looking back at it, but we're not allowed to know right now what the connections are that you will have with others. But I guarantee you it's going to be a very interesting experience to know. I may not know my purpose in this life fully, but I shall surely know it in the next. I was valuable in the sight of God. I am a son or a daughter of God.